بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of February in the year 2020 alhamdulillah we've completed the first week the seventh night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn Zayd Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the blessed dwelling of Abu Ayyub radiyallahu, spending 7 months or thereabouts within it and then moving to his own sacred chamber. And then I mentioned the blessed neighbors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Al-Haram, Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari, Asad ibn Zurara, and others are also mentioned. So, this was a great and most weighty responsibility. Why? For our beloved messenger, he had warned one and all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who does not believe in me, is the one who eats to his fill, whilst his neighbor besides him is hungry, and he knows about this. He does not believe in me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who eats to his fill, whilst his neighbor besides him is hungry, and he knows about it. This is in Tabarani, Bazar, and it's Hasan. So think about that. If you are basically only concerned about yourself and your neighbor is hungry. The Prophet, look at the words he used. Look how harsh the words are, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not believe in me. Meaning, you should know who your neighbors are. Similarly, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, he is not a believer who eats to his fill whilst his neighbor goes hungry. This is in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la is Hasan. And this is why you should send gifts to your neighbors. This is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And foodstuff is excellent. Why? Because if they are needy, you're killing two birds in one stone. Indeed, no other than the Lord of all the worlds, Rabbul Alameen, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exhorts in Surah Al-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 36, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Wa ihsanan wal jaril qurba wal jaril junub. And do good to the neighbors who are near and the neighbors who are strangers. So in this verse, it's quite a long verse, but the relevant part, the command is do good, ihsan, to the neighbors who are near, qurba, and the neighbors who are junub, i.e. strangers. So who is our Lord referring to? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir, in their respective tafsirs, Fath al-Bari 10-441 is Hasan. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he explained, radiyallahu anhu, those who are related to you and those who are not related to you. So there's two types of neighbors. One is the one who's actually related to you. They're the ones who are near, according to Ibn Abbas, Qurba. And those who are not related to you, i.e. non-Muslims, they are Junub. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do good to them. Now why is this actually a sad indictment of the modern world? Because in this cyber age of social media, where one literally has contacts or likes all over the world, the very same individual is at the same time totally oblivious to those who have rights over him, literally living next door. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. Think about that. You people know I've got likes in Australia and New Zealand. Who's your neighbor? Haven't got a clue. Well, Allah ta'ala is not going to ask you about your likes. But you're going to be questioned about your neighbor. Right? So this shows that the world's gone topsy-turvy. Right? And actually there was a program that came on recently on a street in London. And they didn't know who their neighbors were. Most of the people on the street had no idea. Because we don't know who's living next door to us. And if this command is acted upon, wouldn't the world be a better place? Think about that. You know, we shouldn't think small. Well, if I look after my neighbor, what? But if everybody has that mindset, the whole community is benefiting. So note, who were the neighbors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Those respected personalities. So they were even more, you know, worried about the rights now with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In continuation, the blessed tribe of Banu An-Najjar were thus very proud of this honor, and they would often mention it in their poetry, which even their young girls would sing. For instance, in Ibn Majah, number 1899, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih, in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, number 1554, Anas Ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed by a place in Al-Madinah, and some young girls were singing. And they sang, "We are girls from Banu An-Najjar, and what a great neighbor is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He thereupon responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much I love you." Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is a sahih hadith in Ibn Majah. So the Banu An-Najjar, his maternal family tribe, young girls were singing. So think about even youngsters. And what were they singing about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we are girls from Banu An-Najjar, and what a great neighbor is Muhammad. It rhymes, obviously. And look how the Prophet responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much I love you." Meaning, you're saying this out of love for me, but you don't realize how much I love you. Why? Because you're my family. Thus it comes as no surprise to learn, like I mentioned earlier, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 2, page 185 of the English translation, Anas radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The best of the Ansar, the best homes of the Ansar are that of Banu An-Najjar." Subhanallah. The best of the Ansar homes are that of the Banu An-Najjar. Why? Because it's the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, only the best for the best. Allah Ta'ala was giving him the best of everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So moving on to the next section, entitled Sayyidina Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu's blessed pairing. Upon his migration, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to pair up the Muhajirun and the Ansar so as to help them back onto their feet in the new blessed land. So obviously, if you get a huge migration, hundreds to coming to a locality, and they've left everything, just the shirts on their back, most of them, they need to be integrated. It puts a strain on that society. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his unique way, started pairing them up. Because one of the Ansar should take one of the Muhajirun to help them back on their feet. Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu was honored above others. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 380 of the English translation, in the chapter on the companions of Badr, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 2, page 215 of the English translation, Ibn Ishaq, he said, rahmatullah alayh, "Mus'ab ibn Umar and Abu Ayyub were paired." Subhanallah. Mus'ab ibn Umar and Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu were paired. So where did I mention his name earlier? Mus'ab. He was the Muqri, the reciter, the great da'i whom the Holy Prophet sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Al-Madinah. Remember, after the first pledge of Aqaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mus'ab. He goes, "Go and help your brothers," and the deen spread, flourished there. So Mus'ab had a very dear and near spot to the Ansar, because he was the one that the Prophet sent. Who was that man paired up with? Imagine, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu. So what do we know about this man? Subhanallah, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu was paired with Mus'ab ibn Umar, that renowned and most blessed companion through whose untiring efforts he had embraced Islam earlier. Like I mentioned, we're not certain, but he embraced Islam when Mus'ab went to Al-Madina. So the scholars say, certain he was instrumental in Abu Ayyub becoming Muslim. And who knows, maybe it was directly through his hands he embraced Islam. So Mus'ab was one of the 14 eminent guards of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Mishkat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every prophet was given 7 special guards or deputies to help him. I have been given 14. And earlier the year, Lanhu mentioned the 14. One of the 14 was Musab. Allah Ta'ala gave him as a special deputy, guard, helper of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mus'ab was also the cousin of our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was the husband of Sayyidina Hamna radiyallahu anha, who was the sister of one of the mothers of the believers. Zainab bin Jahash was the mother of the believers radiyallahu anha. Zainab bin Jahash radiyallahu anha and the Prophet were cousins. The Holy Prophet's father was Abdullah radiyallahu anha. Zainab's mother was Umayma. Abdullah and Umayma were brothers and sisters. Zainab radiyallahu anha bin Jahash, she would be proud, she'd boast, she'd say to the other wives, I'm not like you. My grandfather and the Prophet's grandfather is the same, Abdul Muttalib. And my marriage was arranged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zainab, her sister Hamna married Mus'ab. So look at the status of Sayyidina Mus'ab radiyallahu anha. Mus'ab was the one who was both beautiful inwardly and outwardly. He was very, very handsome. And he would get the choicest clothes from Yemen. And he'd get the choicest atar scents from Sham. His mother spoiled him. But when he became a Muslim, he gave it all up and he changed. And the Prophet was very happy with him. This was Sayyidina Mus'ab radiyallahu anhu. He was the magnificent ascetic, the one whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminated, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He was the triple migrant. Triple. He went to Abyssinia. That was one of his migrations. Then he went to Abyssinia again. Then he went to Al-Madinah. He was the first ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to no other than his own beloved city, Al-Madinah. Imagine. When you say, who is the ambassador? Who was the Prophet appointed? It was Mus'ab. He could go to Al-Madinah. He was Al-Muqri, the mentor and reciter. Muqri means like you get the, in martial arts, you go sensei, because you're showing respect to your teacher. Muqri means the mentor. This was one of his titles. He was also a beautiful reciter of the Quran. He was the first to lead the Jummah prayer in Al-Madinah itself, divinely instructed. The Holy Prophet told him, lead the Jummah prayer in my absence in Al-Madinah. He was a Badri, one of the greatest companions. He was the standard bearer of both Badr and Uhud, the one whose speech was confirmed by divine revelation. He was the one whom an angel resembled in the Battle of Uhud. Mus'ab was martyred, radiyallahu anhu. And before he got martyred, he saw the tide turning in favor of the unbelievers. And he said to the Muslims, Muhammad is no more than a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. If he dies or is slain, will you recant? Then he was martyred. Allah Ta'ala then revealed a passage of the Quran, exactly the same as his words, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the, he goes, there's no, and the verse continues, exactly quoting Mus'ab. And when he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a man who looked like him. He goes, Mus'ab, go forward. And Mus'ab didn't. So then he asked him, and then Mus'ab turns down, he goes, I'm not Mus'ab, I'm an angel who's resembling him. Allah Ta'ala sent an angel to resemble Mus'ab radiyallahu anhu. He was the one who was true to his covenant, mentioned in Surah Ahzab, the magnificent martyr of Uhud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and forgive us all for his honorable sake. I mean, who was his partner? Imagine, Bole Bale Musulman, who was he paired up with? He goes, Abu Ayyub, who's he? Don't know who Mus'ab is, don't know who Abu Ayyub is radiyallahu anhu. Note, this is important. It is also mentioned in Al-Istiyab 764-770, Usud al-Ghaba 3-85-6, that Abu Ayyub was paired with Talha radiyallahu anhu. However, most of the blessed scholars rahimahumullah have stated the first pairing to be the reality, because it is authentically reported in Bukhari Sharif that Talha was paired with Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. So there's a report mentioning he's paired with Talha. If he is, he's even greater. Talha's one of the 10. You know, we would love that to be true. However, Talha was paired with Ka'ab ibn Malik. So why has that name, why did they get confused? Because who was martyred in Uhud? Mus'ab. Talha was the living martyr. So your narrator maybe got confused. He put Talha instead of Mus'ab's name there. Subhanallah, whatever the case, another endless honor indeed for the most deserving man. Not Allah Ta'ala is honoring Abu Ayyub. Everything the Prophet does is under divine supervision. So he goes, Musab is paired up with Abu Ayyub radiyallahu. So moving on to the next section, entitled, A Glimpse into His Intense Love for Our Beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It would thus now not come as any surprise to learn that due to the intimacy this most noble man had with our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his love would be manifested on many different occasions. Take for instance the following few blessed reports. In Tabarani, Kanz al-Umal, volume 8, page 50, Bayhaqi ibn Ishaq, ibn Kathir Sira, volume 2, page 182-3 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 364 of the New English translation, Abu Ayyub himself, he relates, radiyallahu anhu, we used to prepare meals for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beloved family. And when he sent back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what was extra, we thereupon would specifically seek out the parts where his blessed fingers touched and eat from there with the intention of attaining blessings. So stop in the report. So he sent in gifts. And look how they observed that container. They would notice where the Prophet would move his fingers. And then they would get the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One night, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent back his dinner, in which we had placed garlics and onions, we did not see any traces of his fingers touching the food. When I thus later mentioned our practice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adding that he had sent back the food without eating it, he responded, I smelt of that plant, i.e. garlic or onion, and because I am a person who engages in close conversation, I did not like the smell to stay with me. However, you people are at liberty to eat from it. So, look how interesting. Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, the food was brought back, you didn't touch it. Was there something wrong? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam basically said, I speak with the ones you don't speak. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. And he goes, but you can indulge. In other words, I have to be very careful. Similarly, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid Sahih, Jabir ibn Samura radiyallahu anhu, he relates, once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a plate of food and found that there was garlic on it. Thus he did not eat any of it. It was sent to Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu. And when he saw that the marks of the Holy Prophet's fingers were absent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also did not partake of it. He went to him and asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did not see the marks of your fingers on it. He replied, I smelled garlic in it. Abu Ayyub then said, why then did you send it to me without eating any? He replied, the angels come to me, or they will come to me. So look at how interesting. Abu Ayyub thought that the Prophet was upset with him. Think about it. Because he didn't eat the food. And who did he send it to? Me. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, is there some? The Prophet goes, no. Because I speak with that you don't speak. And the fact I've sent it to you shows that he loved Abu Ayyub. He wanted him to get the blessings. In another report in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat because I whisper with one with whom you do not whisper. Subhanallah. Eat because I whisper with one with whom you do not whisper. Now this is very interesting. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he was observing the angelic realm. Can we see the angels? No. If we do, it's very fortunate few who do have that honor. But not in their original state. If they transform into a human, then that's an honor for us. The Prophet could see them in the original state. So he's always surrounded by angels. And the Sahaba, despite their greatness, sometimes they didn't detect that. Think about that. So they would say, Ya Rasulullah, why? He goes, I converse. You're not aware. And this also shows when he conversed, they didn't even know he was conversing. So don't get the impression that the Prophet was doing this. Jibreel, what's... You know, obviously everybody can hear that. They didn't even know he was conversing. Meaning his conversation was beyond them as well sometimes. Because I converse with whom you don't converse. But when he got the Quran, then it was that ultimate pressure on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the prophetic realm. But notice the love that Abu Ayyub had, radiyallahu. He would go to the very spot where the Prophet's fingers were to get blessings. In Sahih Muslim, Mishkat volume 2, number 54, in the chapter on food, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu said, whenever food was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to eat from it and send the excess to me. One day he sent me a bowl of food without eating anything from it, because there was garlic within it. I thereupon asked, Ya Rasulullah, is it unlawful? Is garlic haram? He said, no, but I do not like this on account of its bad smell. I responded, فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ مَا كَرِحْتُ. Verily, I also dislike what you dislike. Now this is a very important narration in Sahih Muslim. So similar incident, garlic, the Prophet goes, no, it's not haram. But I don't like it because of the smell, meaning I'm speaking to the angels. They're very sensitive. What did Abu Ayyub say? Radiyallahu. فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ مَا كَرِحْتُ. Verily, I dislike what you dislike. Meaning it's not haram, but because you have not ate the garlic, I am also have a dislike for it now. Now this narration and many others expose the error of the ignoramuses, because they say very silly things. For instance, there are certain sunnah which there is no point in following. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certain dislikes as a mortal, as an Arab. Hence, there is no reward in following any of these actions of his. Have you heard this? I've heard it many times, right? Well, he was an Arab. That's why he wore those clothes. Why are you wearing it? Have you heard that? Right? Well, the food, that's his food. If he was here, he would eat this food. And then they come out with that hawla. There's no reward in following that. That's just his personal likes and dislikes. Subhanallah, do these ignoramuses dare accuse Abu Ayyub radiyallahu of performing a futile act when he refrained from garlic? Imagine. So then you go, okay, you believe in hadith, don't you? Because of course I believe in hadith. Okay, then I'll give you a hadith. Sahih Muslim mentioned the hadith of garlic. And what did Abu Ayyub say? فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ مَا كَرِحْتْ. I do not like what you do not like. I have a dislike now. Did the Prophet say, no, Abu Ayyub, I'm an Arab. This is my personal, you know, taste. Why are you jumping on him? Didn't say anything. The Prophet is duty bound to correct. Didn't say anything. So Abu Ayyub did something which the Prophet approved of. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows that whatever the Holy Prophet does, if you do it out of emulation, this is a sign of Iman. Think about that. Wearing a turban. This is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do fruitcakes say? Abu Jahl wore a turban. So then you say to that person, well, you wear a turban, follow him then, if that's your intention. Right? Think about that. Another person, you know, he's got his trousers above, you know, halfway to his calf. And they go, brother, you're living in the West. It's cold here. You'll get flu. Right? He goes, the Prophet, you know, that hot climate. Then you say, oh, so that's a redundant thing then. That, you know, you're telling him to leave that. So no, there's lessons here. The lessons here, everything the Prophet does is blessed. Whether you understand it or not. And if you find this hard to understand, then study Abdullah ibn Umar's life. If you go through his life, you'll be blown away, brother. You think he's mad. He moved his camel. Where the Prophet moved his camel. Imagine. This man was with him and he's moving his camel like this. You know, moving it to the right, to the left. And the man's looking forward. There's nothing in front. He goes, why is he walking like this? Then they asked Abdullah, they asked, why is he doing that? He said, oh, he saw the Prophet do it. He's moving the steps where the Prophet moved his steps. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's he doing? Oh, it's a waste of time. You know, he's just gone crazy. Sahaba's doing waste of time. Right? Another example in Bayhaqi and Shu'ab al-Iman, he would look after this tree. He was looking after this tree and he was watering it, middle of nowhere. So somebody then said, why is he doing that? Because why is he looking after that tree? He said, oh, the Holy Prophet sat there once, so he would make sure he doesn't die. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another time in Ahmad, he went to do, he was doing the Hajj. And then he goes somewhere. He just walks off. And then he comes back. And then somebody asks, he goes, where did he go? He goes, oh, he once saw the Prophet go in that direction and he's just copying him. And he goes, he always does it. So there's love for the Prophet. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala will love you and forgive you your sins. So note, the Sahaba are teaching you. Yes, we're going through blessings. Yes, mashallah, blessings. Not all about blessings, brother. They're teaching you everything about your deen. You go through their lives, you realize how precious the sunnah is. Now, just to add to finish. Did the Prophet say garlic was haram? If he had said that, he's not a prophet. Somebody goes, well, how can you be confident to say that? Because what have they found out about garlic? Lo and behold, modern science have analyzed garlic and they've actually called it a superfood. They say this is the king of herbs. The king of herbs, because there's something, it's got too much shafa in it, you know, like cure. So now if the Prophet had said it was haram, these shaitans would have said, oh, there you go in it. You're following an imposter who doesn't know about garlic. He's supposed to be a messenger of God. Doesn't he know about garlic? So we respond, where did he say it's haram? He said, it's halal, but it's the smell. I'm conversing. What else did he say about garlic? And this will really stump them. In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, partake of garlic, for it is a cure for over 70 ailments. He was ahead of you, brothers. Have you just woke up now in 20th century? What have you found out about garlic? He goes, oh yeah, it lowers blood pressure, it thins the blood, it's very good for the heart, it's this, that. Stop. So would you say that it's got a cure for, it's a super kind of a tonic? Yeah. Our Prophet said that 1,400 years ago. He goes, partake of garlic, for it is a cure for over 70 ailments. So look how you reversed it. He goes, this is a sign of prophethood. Not a sign that he's not a prophet. Because he's encouraging you to eat both. Be careful of the smell. That's what he's saying. That Allah alayhi wa sallam. Those far from shunning this herb, one should regularly partake of it with the condition that one should try one's best to drown its odor. There's a very famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you come to the masjid, drown that odor. Try your best. So why? Because obviously angels attend the masjids. So not, it's only the smell, right, that he was, you know, warning you about, not the actual garlic itself. And if you cook it, usually it's drowned anyway. But the raw garlic is very potent. And that's where the most of the shafa is. You have to actually bite into it to get the shafa. Right? And the fight, you know, they've studied it. And they've even said now recently, it's anti-cancerous. It fights cancer. Can there be a greater illness, disease than cancer? Right? So not everything he's telling you is revelation. He's telling you how to live a healthy life. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was basically, I mentioned a few things about neighbors, i.e. the importance of being acquainted with one's neighbors, and how important it is that you give them gifts, i.e. especially foodstuff. And I mentioned the blessed pairing of Abu Ayyub with the great Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umar radiyallahu. And now I've started the subsection in which we're taking a glimpse into his intense love for our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and true love, i.e. everything in terms of emulating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa atubu ilayhi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asr, innal insana lafii khusr. 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 Innal insana lafii khusr.